What I'm going to do tonight is pick up where I left off this morning and just finish off what I started. Remember we was talking about the motive of missions. I just saw a little sticker on y'all's mission board out there, and Oswald J. Smith wrote that the mission of the church is missions. And I thought, that's all I needed to say. But that's true. And I'm glad that you all take tracts and pass them out. And I have some that I took earlier, and it'll be when I'm out and about, and we'll give them out. And we do that with every church. We pack in their tracts, and then while we're in the area, we give them out. And the other day, we had taken some tracts from Brother Ken Burke over there in Westland. And I took a whole bunch of his, and because he was watching me. I said, "You got tracks?" He said, "Sure, right there on the wall." And he's standing there looking at me. So I said, "Huh?" I turned around and said, "Oh, I'll take all of them." But they were good ones. Because that one track that I kind of got, I got several of those that you can give to young couples or young people, young men, young women. It had to do with college and marriage and occupation and careers and retirement and all kinds of stuff. And I just threw my coat, and the next morning, my wife and I was eating, and there's a man sitting there. He's a farmer. He's sitting there talking to a young man. I didn't see how young that man was because he had his back towards me. But he just listened, and the guy was hammering it home, you know, if you want to get rich, and if you want to make $1 million, he's talking about farming. You need to buy this. Don't buy too much acreage, and buy at this price. Don't buy it. And he just went on, and the guy just sitting there going like that. And then when they got through, he got up and turned around, and he was a young man, 20, probably. He told me he was 22, I think he was said. Young guy. But I followed him outside, and I pulled out one of those tracks, and I caught him. He just got in his truck, and I said, "Hey, can I give you one of these tracks?" And he looked at it, and he said, "Sure." I said, "You know what it talks about? It's basically for someone like you. And you're young, and you got your whole life in front of you, and that man, I compliment him and commend him for trying to help a young man like you and what to do and everything." I said, "But do you know the Bible tells stories about farmers? You know Bible tells stories about, it says some come and some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. Did you know that God is the husbandry?" And I just kind of went on a little bit, just let him know where it was coming from. And I said, "You read all of that in that little track. And don't forget that God is the one." And I said, "There's a story in the Bible in Luke chapter 12 that talks about a man who got rich farming. And he built barns, and he tore down barns to build bigger barns. And he said, 'This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that.'" I said, "But he forgot there was a God. And he didn't live very much longer. God took him." I said, "I noticed that man never talked to you about length of days. He didn't talk to you about when you're going to die. But we're all going to die." I gave him just a little, you know, just a real quick message of what the Bible says. And I said, "God knows all about sowing and reaping. So I want you to read that track. Would you do that for me?" He said, "I will." I said, "And when you get that message at the end, talks to you about being saved, would you consider it?" "I will." I said, "And if you do, would you call that church number on there?" That's Brother Burke. So, see, I pass that on to the other people, that he can find a way to get up there and disciple him. But I said, "Or else you can put my number down and call me if you should do that." That's tracks, you know. You can preach a whole sermon with tracks, but tracks speak for itself. A lot of information in that. And so it says what we can't say a lot of times. And so it's a blessing. I just got blessed by hearing everybody. I gave tracts. It's wonderful. Thank you. And so that's part of one of my points tonight. So I'll just skip over it. So you'll be glad for that. But let's go back over there real quick. And some of you, how many of you weren't here this morning? Okay, we had to start over. Anyway. Acts chapter 4, and one little verse that stands out. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Tremendous. Jesus told his disciples, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Amen. You know, that's a theme that most churches carry, because that's what we have. That's our calling card. It's just, it's our signature. That's us. We don't depend on anybody else to do it. It's us, the local church, to get out and share the gospel with other people any way you can. And that's really our motive, to know that Jesus is the only one that can save. And you can learn that there in that chapter 4. You read that about Peter's preaching, and he's talking about the Jesus he's preaching to the people about, that Jesus is the only Savior, and that he's the only one can forgive. He's the only one can take sins away. He can remove the guilt of life, and he can bring peace into your heart, joy of God's Spirit. And you know, one of the things he told his disciples was, and it just, you know, right at John 15, not very far, in chapter 16 too, but not very far from the cross. He's right there. And then he told his disciples, "My joy I give unto you. My joy I give unto you." And so, you know, Jesus knows what he's doing for a lost world that's so sad and hurting, troubled today. And that's what we see everywhere you go. And it ought to make you want to have the compassion that will make a difference. Amen. Just because you see them, just because you see that the hurting people are all around us. They may live right next door to you, right behind you. But they need the gospel. And we know that Jesus is the only one that can do that. And you go to Acts chapter 17 and you can read about Paul the Apostle. He ended up going to Athens. You know, he went to Thessalonica and got in trouble there, and they run him off. And so he left and went to Berea. After Berea, he went to Athens. And so he's over there now, and he comes before a whole bunch of people that worship the unknown God. They were superstitious people. They were people who had no idea, even though they've been searching, that there was only one true Savior, and that was Christ. And Paul pointed that Savior to him, that he commanded all men everywhere to repent.
That's right.
And so, see, that's why we understand that there's no other name under heaven. No other name. It's Jesus. It's not the man upstairs. It's not another God. It's not a well-known prophet. It's Jesus.
Amen.
He shall save his people from their sins. Amen. That's him. And that's what he does. And I appreciate what the Bible teaches us about that. We as missionaries, we don't go to fields and go in there and try to help their high come up to a higher standard of living, and try to help them do finances and help them build houses and bring them teach them how to make clothes and make sure they go all get Nikes. That's not what we do. We're not Habitat for Humanity. Our job is to go and preach Jesus to them. We know Jesus can change a man inside out.
That's right.
I mean, if you go to a place like a reservation and you see the sadness of life, And you see these people that are just as pessimistic as they can be. They live in that low areas of life. You can't get no lower than that. But when you start preaching Jesus to them, and they come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and they begin to know Jesus Christ and who he is, and then next time you meet him, that man is a changed individual. When Jesus comes into a person's life, they're not going to stay the same.
That's right,
he just won't leave you like that. And it's just not about saying, yeah, I trusted Jesus. No, they know Jesus. That is what changes you, to know him and to make him known. And they're able then to share it with their families. An Indian woman who's troubled in life, and she gets saved. She's able to go share that with her husband. And then pretty soon, husband comes to church. Pretty soon, husband gets saved. Pretty soon, the kids come to church, and the kids get saved. You know what I'm showing you? They're just as human as you are. They're just like everybody else. They just need to hear it.
That's right.
And the Bible says in Romans 10:17, that hearing comes by the word of God, and by the word of God. Faith, there to go. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's why we get it out. That's why we share it with them. Tracks do that. Mouth will do that. I mean, any way we can to get the gospel of Jesus Christ, even the internet and all of that you have. And we do much of that. I was telling somebody earlier back there that we're from the Choctaw tribe, 5 civilized tribes. Sometimes they don't believe we're civilized, but we act like it. But our tribes came down from the southeast parts of the United States, and that was the Choctaw, Chickasaw, Seminole, Creek, and Cherokees. And I always put the Cherokees down there because Choctaws and Cherokees, they like to make fun of each other. So I have Cherokee friends, so I kind of know what that's like. But way back when the settlers came in, and they respected the white people, they took on their last names. That's why mine's McKinney. It should have been like a Sleepy Bear or something like that. it's not. But that's not my identity. My identity is I am a Christian. I've been born again by the Spirit of God. I know what the new birth is. I know what it means to be saved. You know, you have to explain the word saved to me. It's been there a long time. There were some people talking about the settlers a long time ago saying the settlers was dishonest and the settlers did bad things and all this and that. And the settlers took away things from the Indian people, and they were kind of mean about it. And my wife stopped them. And she just said, yeah, but those people that came brought the word of God to us. And it got quiet because that's the truth. They brought the word of God to us. And that was the best thing that we could have. And they taught us how to farm and raise crops, and they taught us a lot of things. And when those tribes were moved from the southeastern part of the United States up into going to Carolinas and up in Mississippi and Oklahoma, and some of those tribes stopped along the way, and some of them kept moving and moved all the way into Oklahoma. But the thing I'm saying is the Word of God, the Scriptures, taught us who Jesus was. And we have learned who he is. And Jesus has brought us through some things. He brought us through the same troubles that you go through. He brought us some same difficulties that you have. He knows how to do that with anybody. If you notice on our board back there, it says Jesus didn't come to save skins. He came to save souls. And that's what our whole program is about. Our motive is about saving souls. And so is yours.
Amen.
So is the next Bible-believing Baptist, Independent Baptist Church down the road. Not every church teaches that. Not every church is for that. But that's the motive for missions is salvation in Christ. The motive for mission is that we might know God. The motive of mission is that we might make those who believe fellow heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Children of God, adopted. Adopted children of God. And that's why we can cry, Abba, Father. He's our Father. So I'm thankful for this time that you've given me. And one thing I wanted to push out was this about our motive and mission is still the same. It's never changed. You know, I look at my finger. I'm going off my subject, but I left my ring at the FedEx. The other morning, we stopped at the FedEx and we got some copies of things. I was working in the back of the truck because my wife was inside doing all the work, typing. And I went in, washed my hands when I got through, and I took off my ring and laid it down, and soaped it up, got it going, and I forgot. And I went back out, and then we left. And we was almost here, wasn't we? And I said, I lost my ring. Maybe it was in the motel. So I called them. They said, no, the room hadn't been cleaned yet. We hadn't found any rings. Second place, we stopped and got gas. But I know I didn't take my ring off then. I washed my hands, but I didn't take. Third place was FedEx. Or as first place, second place. And so I said, that could only be in FedEx. So she called FedEx. And they said, she went to the restroom and checked. And she said, yeah, there's a ring here. That might have been 2-3 hours later. So I thank God. And my wife thanks God. and it just bothered, when I went like that, and I saw, whoa, wait a minute. Because I like to show off my diamonds. That's the best ring I ever bought. And my wife and I, 50 years this year. So I'm thankful that God can bless marriages. So don't give up on marriages when everybody else is. You know, we live in a day when people don't want to. The Bible says forbidding to marry. But you know, that's not the key. The society can do it. But God's people know better.
Amen.
And so that's just a little take for you. I mean, commercial, you call it commercial? They used to call it chasing rabbits. And but anyway, yeah, I don't like to chase rabbits. I do shoot rabbits. I don't know more, but I did. Then I got saved and I quit. Yeah, some looking at me like, uh-oh. I got to quit hunting. No, we eat game. People give us game all the time. But anyway, one of the things that I want to give you some scriptures that we need to, when we preach the gospel, we need to include the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the without the remission, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. And over there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. And you need to understand that blood of Christ needs to be included in your messages. It's the blood that cleanses us from all sin.
That's right.
And the only message that we already looked at that in Acts 4:12, that there's no other name. And also include in your messages grace of God.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved through faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Good verses to memorize and hang on to. You can always use it to help people because, you see, we do other things like carrying the social gospel. And when we do that, we kind of cut the nerve that all men are lost and in need of Jesus Christ. We cut that nerve and people don't understand that the calling of the gospel to our churches, our men, our ministers, our missionaries is that we're to go and Mark 16:15 says for that you were to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. And that's why we hold up high the name of Christ.
Amen.
I mean, if you're a witness like that, you're holding up high. So witness, missionaries, missions, all about witnessing, telling, proclaiming, sharing the gospel. Second one is praying. You're always taught that when missionaries go, pray for us. You've seen it on our card. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. Brethren, and maybe my wife should have wrote in, sisters, pray for us. Pray for us. Because that's what we really need as we go out. Pray. You know, it's easy to pray when you go to a large prayer meeting. I mean, in the book of Acts, that big prayer meeting had 120 people up in the upper room. That's a lot of people praying. Compared to nowadays, when you call a prayer meeting, there's only a few. Sometimes two and three. But, you know, it's okay. The Bible teaches us where two or three are gathered together in my name.
That's right.
There am I in the midst of them. So you can pray with a few. Don't be ashamed. Don't say, I'm not going because there's not many going there. Well, you can be one of those and pray. You can pray as one, too. And that's what we count on. Some of you who pray as one because you see a need, you heard a need, you read a need, you read your missionary's prayer letters and you saw something that God burned your heart for. You know, it's like Abraham in Genesis 18. He was told that Sodom and Gomorrah would be destroyed. And he knew Lot was over there. And it burned his heart. And the Bible says, he said, wait, if there be 50 righteous men there, if there be 50, right, 40, 30, 20, 10. And when he even went down to 10, God said, if there be 10 righteous people there, I will not destroy it. See, that's why it counts for one to pray. I like that verse so much because Abraham, the Bible says, and yet Abraham stood. Abraham stood there and prayed. Just stopped him in his tracks and he prayed. He didn't say, oh, I guess I'll pray on this later. I'll pray about it tomorrow. I'll pray about it at prayer meeting Wednesday night. No, he prayed right then. Now, don't do that while you're driving. Pull over for it first. But pray. Be a prayer warrior. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. We expect a lot to be done, and then we don't pray. We need to pray. And then the third one is give. You knew that was coming, didn't you? Yeah. Give. Missionaries can't go across the waters without you giving, and you do give. You have a lot of missions families that you give to. You support a lot of mission works. You're reaching a lot of people. We've signed a quilt over there at Brother Madonna's house. He has this big old quilt and he gave me a pen and said, write your name down and where you serve and the date. And I was sitting there and I was looking and reading, and Tommy Tucker was right there beside me where I was signing. I've known Tommy Tucker since his day of beginnings. He's old now, like me. But we grew up together in the mission field. And he was way over there in Thailand, and I'm way over here in the United States. But I just looked at him and I thought, bless this church for having given to foreign lands, but also homelands. And that's a blessing. When I first started, I had to go to work because our support was so low. We moved to Washington. I worked at the sawmill. And Paul made tents, so, you know, it didn't hurt to work. But I worked because I didn't have enough support. And I didn't have enough support because there was too many pastors that said, you can be like me and get you a job. You're here in the United States and you can work. So I did. And so I worked a lot. I worked security and everything like that, and my support. What picked up, the Lord picked it up for me. I didn't. There's a lot of churches I've never been to, and God's began to use those churches. Then my support book kept going up, kept going up, kept going up till I could quit working. I never met these preachers, but God had. God has. God works through the local church, and He nudges those preachers and those members of that church, and they give to missions, and they pick up missionaries who are just like me in need of a little help. And I've been full-time ever since. And God did it. My wife can tell you that. A lot of preachers, we've never been to their church, and they support us. God does that because God's interested in your giving. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together. I mean, it'll be running over. And even Paul knew that in his heart. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And even better yet, Paul said, when you give, give as a cheerful giver.
That's right.
Cheerful. And I like what you do here. You just set a box back there. You don't know if people give or not, but if you're a really believer, real believer in Christ, and your motive for missions is just that, witnessing and praying and giving, you'll follow through in all three of them.
That's right.
It's like an honor system, and you follow through. That says a lot about your heart. You're not robbing God. You're blessing God. You're honoring Him, and you're making the local church what it should be. Anyway, I'm going to stop there, preacher. And I said a little while, but that was a little while. But Father, we're grateful. We are grateful for the gospel. When we're thinking about motive for missions, we need to stop and think about that God had a motive, and His motive was simple. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus had a motive. He said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. The Spirit of God had a motive that He may regenerate our hearts, save us, and that He taught us that He doesn't do those things for Himself, but He does all that He does to glorify the Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, may the Spirit of God lead us in that way that we're yielded to Him so much that everything that we do is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is worthy of that. We pray tonight that there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ and they'll come to know Him. In Christ's name, amen.